Monday night, May 6th at the Hyatt Regency in San Francisco, you're invited to join athletes and celebs at the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame Enshrinement Dinner. Be there to celebrate this year's class featuring Olympic swimmer Jenny Thompson, San Jose Earthquakes legend Chris Wondolowski, Niners Super Bowl hero John Taylor, Sharks icon Patrick Marleau, and the architect of the Giants dynasty, Brian Sabian. Be a part of this star-studded evening benefiting Special Olympics Northern California. To purchase tickets, visit bashoff.org. That's BASHOF.org.
And it shoots and scores! Tomas Hurdle hits the jackpot!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Scores! Logan Couture wins it in overtime!
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Two goals for Mikko Rantanen, who's already hit the showers.
We explored a lot of things, but we're a hockey team that's trying to win now also. And you know, we're competing. We have an eye in the future with replenishing and adding picks to us. But you know, as we talked about, the three things we're trying to do this year, you know, reestablish our core players, reestablishing their game, giving young players opportunities, which they have and I think done a good job with, and then culture. And you know, the group has done a really good job, especially in a unique and challenging year like this. And even some of the guys that left have done a great job of really helping everybody come together as a group.
All right. Good morning, everyone. How are we all doing? That was a rough one last night. I'm not going to lie. That was one of the more disappointing Sharks efforts of the season, at least overall in the first 10 minutes of the game. I thought that they recovered nicely from there, but they were simply incapable of finding the back of the net or playing cleanly enough to get themselves back into the game. But before we go there, as you heard, bringing us back in, it was the Avs giving the Sharks a little bit of help last night, downing the Coyotes 4-2. Now, the Golden Knights also got a win over the Kings 4-2. But as we look at the standings right now, the Sharks are still ahead of the Kings by 2 points. They are 3 points back of Arizona for fifth and 4 points back of St. Louis for fourth place. The good news is the Sharks have two games in hand on Arizona, and they are even in games played with St. Louis, so it is capable for them to catch Arizona in St. Louis. You know, we'll have to see how it goes. There are neither of those teams play coming up tonight, but the Sharks still have a lot of work to do, and they have simply not taken advantage of what they were hoping to do over the course of this homestand so far, and I think that is the most disappointing part of what we're seeing with the Sharks. Is you had this opportunity, things were rolling, and you're unable to simply capitalize on how well you'd been playing and carrying that momentum. You got a win against the Kings on the second, you got a win against the Kings on the third, and then that momentum all came to a halt when they lost on Tuesday night against Anaheim. Then they were able to beat LA on Friday night, lost to LA on Saturday night, now lost to Anaheim on Monday night. So you've lost three out of your last four, especially considering those are all at home. Very, very disappointing. You got to hope that they can bounce back tomorrow night with a much better performance against the Ducks. But I'll go back to what we heard from Doug Wilson to bring us in this morning, and that is what the Sharks are attempting to do. And that's A, they are playing for right now. They are trying to get better. But in the grand scheme, it was reestablish the core players, give younger players opportunity, and culture. And those are the three things first. And as we look back at what we saw from the Sharks at the deadline, and I'm going to go over all the moves here, the Sharks were able to get forward Alexander Barabanov from the Maple Leafs. That was a trade for Antti Suomela. The club acquired a 2022 fifth-round selection from Buffalo from the Vegas Golden Knights in a three-team trade between the Sharks, Knights, and Blackhawks. They acquired goaltender Magnus Crona from the Lightning in exchange for defenseman Frederik Leesen. They also got a 2021 fourth-round pick from the Maple Leafs. That was in a three-team trade between the Blue Jackets and the Maple Leafs, and obviously the Sharks. And that also came with Stefan Nason going to Toronto in exchange for that fourth-round selection. And of course, the first one we saw was going back to the Sharks acquiring a 2021 fifth-round draft selection and defenseman Greg Patterson in exchange for goalie Devan Dubnyk. So immediately you note that none of these are going to be the sexiest trades that are lighting up the NHL, but this is what Wilson alluded to in the fact that the Sharks are trying to build for the future. They are restocking their draft picks and they are trying to prepare themselves better for the future. And honestly, I like that. I think that that's what the Sharks need to be doing right now. I don't think that they should be giving up assets. They're not going to be giving up anything that makes them immediately a better team, because I think that we can all honestly assess that they do not have some deep run in them right now. And that's the way that it's got to be looked at, is how can you improve this team in the here and now while making yourself better for the future? And that's pretty much the viewpoint of what Doug Wilson has been going with throughout this entire process.
Well, we have, you know, we have some depth, but we're also wanted to, as we said, create those opportunities for some of the younger guys that didn't get a chance to play exhibition games, or with the way this year has gone, get the opportunities that we promised them. So we have a nice blend, you know, when you have the Marcus Sorensens, you've got Patties, you've got Matty Nieto's, you know, we've got Greg Patterns coming to join the team. So again, we're trying to compete this year every night. We're trying to compete to make the playoffs. We wanted to add those assets. So that was the sweet spot we were shooting for. And I didn't want to give up any young picks or any young players to change that. If there had been a hockey deal that was a player that fit for now and for the future and was a fair deal, we'd look at that. We had a lot of conversations with a lot of teams that could lead to those discussions at the end of the year and prior to the draft.
And in part of looking ahead at the future, which is what the Sharks are doing right now, as well as the here and now, we're also looking at the expansion draft coming up, to which Wilson offered this.
Yeah, I think what happens is, you know, we're prepared for it, just like we were the last expansion draft. And you know, bringing young players in that don't have to be protected, that helps a little bit during this process. I think a lot of the conversations that every team has sets the tone for some of the potential transactions that could take place after this season prior to the expansion draft. Everybody's pretty well aware of the position every team is in. Teams will have to make decisions. You know, we feel fortunate that, you know, we'll have cap space. We've got young players. We will lose a player, just like in the last one, we lost David Schlemko. But we think we're pretty well positioned to move forward, not only through building our team, but potentially take advantage to adding a player that could be available because of the expansion draft.
And if you've spent any time on social media or just around hockey people in general, there has been much speculation about the Sharks and the future of Brent Burns, particularly as it pertains to the expansion draft. And again, that's nothing that the Sharks have said. That is just speculation from around the hockey world. And Doug Wilson was asked about it.
You know, the decisions we make, I mean, our core of our team, we think, is a very good core. We think that as we go through this reset, the growth of the younger players, potential draft picks that we can add to our team and using some of the cap space that we have. So those decisions will be made in due time. But as I said, our top players reestablishing their game. And I think most of them have done a really good job of that and creating the opportunities for young guys to come in and play well, like a Ferraro and a Kanishoff and a Balsers and a you know, Leonard McGregor. So it's we're pleased with where we're at. A lot of work to be done. And certainly the stretch run here is another opportunity for us to grow as a team.
So anyone who was expecting a direct answer on the future of Brent Burns and the San Jose Sharks, you might be a little bit disappointed with that answer. But obviously, Wilson's not in the position yet to comment on that, A. And B, I think that everyone, regardless of how you feel about his contract, still looks at Brent Burns as a very much highly contributing player of the San Jose Sharks when he's out there on the ice. And I don't think there's any argument to be made that you get better by giving up one of the best defensemen in the league in Brent Burns. And even if he is not as good as he once was, I still look at Brent Burns. I'm looking at him having a 3-assist game the other night. I still look at how good he is at firing the puck in on the net. I see some of the incredibly intelligent defensive plays he's made this year. I do not want to see him in a uniform that is not the San Jose Sharks. Now, whether or not that's what the future holds, I don't know, but that's just my own personal opinion on the matter. Now, focusing more on last night, I've said it recently that when the Sharks come out, you can see it in the first 5 or 10 minutes whether or not they are going to show up. And in the first 5 and 10 minutes of that game last night, they were not ready. Defensive miscues, turning the puck over, not being careful enough. They put themselves at a deficit. It's 1-0, then boom, boom, suddenly it's 2-0. And then before the end of the period, you're down 3-0. And when you're down 3-0 after the first period, I mean, good luck, right? Good luck getting back into that game. Good luck reestablishing yourselves. Good luck being able to figure out where you're going to go from there. And it didn't help that the Sharks, not only did they go down 1-0 2 minutes into the game. But then right thereafter, they take what was an awful, in my opinion, too many men on the ice. So you're on the kill. You're a little stressed out. I think you burned some energy a little bit earlier. It didn't help them anywhere as the game went on. And suddenly, like I said, you're down 3-0 and you still got a lot of time left in that first period. The Sharks did rebound nicely, but you know, trying to look at that game and figure out what happened, it was just the first 5-10 minutes, they were not there. And you combine that with some defensive miscues, and that's the game. I mean, the Sharks did recover nicely over the rest of the game, and they were able to put a lot of shots on net, but that's not enough. I mean, you can only do so much to overcome those early mistakes, and the Sharks are a team where those early mistakes can sink you, and they were sunk last night. And they did have a better second period. They did have a better third period overall, and they were putting those shots on. They couldn't find the back of the net for whatever reason. That's just the way it was going last night. Plus, you had a very, very nice performance by way of 46 saves from Stolarz, but it was the first period in particular which did them in. Here's Bob Bugner on what happened in the first.
Well, I mean, we jammed some pucks in the middle and didn't tie up front. And we talked about that. I think it's just, if you go back and you watch, there was a couple of miscues and ended up in the back of our net. And the same pairing on the back end had trouble on all three goals. Pretty obvious.
And here's the captain on that rough first period.
Yeah, execution. I think, two turnovers. I'd have to rewatch it. I can't really remember the goals, but like I said, I think offensively we created enough in that first period. Just defensively, we were asleep a little bit and handed them goals. It's tough to come back from three in this league.
And Martin Jones on the first.
I don't know. I mean, it wasn't all bad. We had some good scoring chances. We hit a couple posts. You know, just maybe a little bit more urgency in our D zone. Just need to clean up a little bit. Need to come up with a save here and there, and we can definitely be better in the D zone as well.
And I didn't hate Martin Jones' game last night, but something we're seeing more consistently from the Sharks in this string of 3 out of 4 where they've lost these games is that they are not playing as cleanly in front of Jones. They are giving up too many bad opportunities. Too many times they're giving up the puck in the defensive zone. And if you do that, you're asking for it. I mean, I don't have to be some sort of schematic expert here to tell you that that is not going to end well, right? You cannot turn the puck over that many times in your own end and expect bad things not to happen. And bad things did happen over and over and over. And again, it's what we've been seeing with the Sharks as of late. They are putting themselves in bad situations, and they're going down early in games. You go back to that Tuesday night loss against the Ducks. What happened? Anaheim scored first. Even in last Friday night's win over the Kings, the Sharks were down 1-0 early after the Kings scored. Saturday night, Kings score first. They beat the Sharks 4-2. And obviously last night, the Sharks didn't score anything, and the Ducks had 3 by the time the first period was over. When you are what the Sharks are right now, which is a relatively middling team hanging around 500, you have to watch the trends. And for the San Jose Sharks, the trends have been poor second periods. Earlier in the year, it was poor goaltending. And you've also seen some situations where they jumped out early, only to see the other team come roaring back. Now, what we're seeing as of late is that the Sharks are making more and more miscues in their own end, which is a trend we saw earlier in the year, and other teams are punishing them for it. We saw this creep into their game over a stretch of when they were playing well, but they were able to make up for it because Martin Jones was on fire and they were able to create those offensive opportunities and get themselves back into games. But that hasn't been happening. And even last night, when they did create all those opportunities, Stolarz was fantastic. And they hit the post, they hit the crossbar, whatever it was going to be, you didn't have the ability to get yourself back into the game. And I think that when you give another team momentum like that, even if you do come back with 40 plus shots, when you do create many, many offensive opportunities, you did too much damage early in the game to come back from. And that was how that one went last night. And Logan Couture was asked, you know, does it feel like this team is shooting itself in the foot?
Yeah. I mean, falling behind 3-0 is not ideal, especially when you give up 1-2 minutes in. I thought we created enough offense tonight. Just couldn't score. But defensively, we were too loose in that first period.
And I'm sure this is weighing on Logan Couture in particular because we all know he's banged up. He was asked about it after the game. He just said everybody's banged up. But I think you can specifically watch with Logan Couture that injuries are taking a toll because he was so effective earlier in the season. And it seems like ever since he took the butt end of that stick in the game against LA, he's never quite been the exact same player. And, you know, I'm only speculating in that regard, but I think there were also some rough hits around that same time. I think he had a rough collision with the boards. Also, it just he hasn't been the same player. And when your captain is not able to produce at the level that he's expecting of himself, it's going to have a grind effect on him. And I think that he is gripping. He is dealing with injury. He's probably feeling a lot of the weight of a season that has been very much up and down and difficult and unique in the history of the San Jose Sharks. But the Sharks still have this opportunity. You know, you look at the standings and the Sharks aren't that far out. They still have 4 points between them and St. Louis. And even though we said the Sharks had to win 5 out of 7 on this road stand, which we know is no longer going to happen, they are still within relative striking distance. So I think that they are probably asking themselves, how deep can they dig? What do they have left in the final stretch of games here? As they have now played 41 games, they've got 15 left. And there is a lot that can happen. But if we look at the trends, which are the most important thing, the Sharks 3 points behind Arizona, 4 points back of St. Louis. The trends for the Sharks right now show a team that is not consistently finding better play. And you might start to recognize that the weight of this season combined with the way guys are banged up, all of this just might be too much for the Sharks to handle. I'm not saying that it is. I'm just saying it might be too much at this point, because last night was a game where you needed the Sharks to bounce back. And one of the things I've been talking about is that after a loss, how do the Sharks bounce back? Is this something that's going to find them starting to slide again, or will they come back with a win? Now, last Tuesday, they lost to the Ducks and they bounced back with a Friday night win against the Kings. They lost the next night, and then now, more troubling, they have lost a second in a row, which was something they'd been able to avoid. So, again, I guess you're waiting to see whether or not this turns into a more prolonged slide for the Sharks. Are they able to bounce back Wednesday night and get a win against Anaheim and maintain the idea that they are within striking distance? That's what we're all trying to figure out right now. And I think this Sharks team has the relative fight there to keep on pushing and trying to keep their season alive in terms of their playoff hopes. But at the same time, the schedule, it is 4 games in 7 nights the rest of the way. That takes its toll. But again, you look at the opportunity for the team, the opportunity for younger guys to play in big scenarios like trying to fight for your playoff lives. There's a lot of good that can come out of this, whether or not they qualify. And if you don't even want to qualify it as there is a lot of quote-unquote good, there is a lot of reality that can be revealed. You can find out who is going to be able to take that next step, how far certain guys have to go, and what your reality is in regards to the team overall. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We've got more Morning Tide on the other side.
Coors Light wants to help you catch a Sharks game from the best seats in the house. Just share a photo of your Sharks at-home game setup to sjsharks.com/homeice for a chance to win Coors Light Silver Seats tickets, Sharks gear, and more. Winners will be chosen weekly, so post a pic showing how you watch the Sharks to sjsharks.com/homeice today. 2021 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Must be 21 or older. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Absolutely. Real disappointed. I think that, you know, hey, listen, we had a tough start the first, 5-10 minutes. They got a couple bounces, but it was us mismanaging pucks. There's no other explanation for that. But, after the last 40 minutes, I mean, we only allowed 7 or 8 shots on net. And, we had some great chances. Their goalie, was in the zone and he played very well tonight. And, I think he can cap the game off as, first 5-10 minutes of play. We mismanaged pucks, exactly what we talked about this morning, and managed the game, and we didn't do it.
That is Sharks head coach Bob Bugner bringing us back in here on a Tuesday a.m. on Morning Tide, talking about the disappointment of looking at the same group, giving them an opportunity to rebound after Saturday night's loss, only to make some of the same mistakes and not rectify some of the things that they were focusing on. And that is a trend with the Sharks right now. And again, I pointed this out earlier, that the theme of trends is going to play itself out over the course of a hockey season, or a course of any season in any sports, because the trends, as they consistently appear, are the reality of what you see in your team. For the reality of the Sharks right now, it's they are not good enough to overcome their mistakes, especially when they happen early in games. And what we're seeing a lot recently is that they're going down early in games. They're not giving themselves much help in that capacity. When you combine going down early with not being able to find the back of the net as often as you'd like, I mean, you're not, it's not rocket science, folks. You're not going to win those games. But I do appreciate that the Sharks were able to get back into that game. I mean, you look at what they were able to create offensively. You look at the way that they fought. I do respect and appreciate that, but it was too hard to overcome that early deficit. And going into the game on Wednesday night against Anaheim, you have to imagine the thought is going to be, how are we going to manage the first 5 to 10 minutes of this game? Because that's been the problem in the last few games. The first 5 to 10 minutes, we have seen problems. We have seen the opposition putting goals in the back of the net. The Sharks need to focus on that. They need to be aware immediately of how the early part of a game can dictate how it's going to go for them. And I don't know if that's something that Bob Bugner is going to point out and feel the need to break up the game into 5 and 10 minute segments. I don't think it's ever that crystal clear, but you try to identify problems and you try to make them go away, or you do whatever you can to organize yourself in a way that you can mitigate the damage. And for the Sharks right now, the damage is coming early and often at the start of games. Here's Logan Couture on where the team's confidence level is right now in light of the recent losses.
Yeah, well, it's obviously we're not happy right now, but the way the season works, we're playing 3 more games in the next 5 days, I think. So gonna have to get a good day of practice tomorrow. Forget about it. Move on and get ready for Wednesday, because there's no breaks this season. It's a lot of hockey.
Martin Jones was also asked about the team's confidence level in light of losing 3 out of 4.
It's been disappointing. Some of the play over the last 4 games, I don't think has been our best, but it's just been disappointing. You know, obviously we're fighting for our lives here, so we need to find a way to bring a little more urgency and a little more intensity to our game and moving forward here.
And it's a bit that feeling where everybody knows what the problem is, but nobody knows if they're going to be able to fix it right now. I mean, the starts of the games, the sloppy play, the turning over the pucks, these are things that we saw earlier in the season from the Sharks that they were able to correct and go on a little bit of a run, but now it's creeping back into their reality and they're not playing up to the level that we saw them capable of. And this is where you find out what the reality of the team truly was, because they have been, like I said, a middling team hovering right around, you know, barely getting over 500 just a couple of times this year, and now they're on a little bit of a mini drop off again, and you get to see whether or not this turns into a slide or whether or not they're able to correct their problems. And this doesn't get better without playing a better game, right? I mean, they can't expect to go out there and continue to do the same thing and get better results. If they continue to turn the puck over, if they continue to make east-west passes that have a low probability rate, they're going to put themselves in harm's way. And Logan Couture talked about this in the postgame. He said, we're a north-south hockey team. We are not an east-west team. It's going to be predicated on the hard work. And that was what was maybe particularly frustrating about last night, because after that abysmal start, they did work hard. They did create opportunities. They did play better hockey. It wasn't flawless hockey, but it wasn't as bad as what we saw in the first period. They just weren't able to find the back of the net. And so you got to wonder how you're going to hammer home the idea that if you don't make those mistakes early on, if you play the level that you need in terms of intensity right off the bat, you are going to put yourself in a much better position to win. I don't think that's breaking news to any of them. I don't think that I am creating some amazing viewpoint that they're not aware of, but it is a reality. They're going down early. They're having bad starts to games. And like I have said a lot, we know in the first 5 or 10 minutes which Sharks team is showing up. They did a better job of not letting that flatness permeate the entirety of the game, but it wasn't enough to make up for what they did earlier in the game. And it's predicated on hard work. Now, but Stolarz last night, he just wasn't letting anything in. And a big part of that maybe is the fact that he's playing with huge confidence levels up 3-0. He can come out a little bit more. He can be more aggressive. Again, when you're playing with a 3-0 lead as a goalie, you're playing big and high on confidence at that moment. And the Sharks, even with the opportunities they were creating, you got the feeling that it was not going to be enough. But my hope, and you heard Logan Couture alluding to the fact that they have a lot of hockey and they have played a lot of hockey and the schedule is, you know, hot and heavy from here on out, you get younger guys and younger bodies coming through with production, whether it's going to be a Leonard, a Balcers, a Meyer, a Gambrell, a LeBanc. You need those guys to get rolling. Logan Couture kept the team in the hunt early in the season, and his body has taken a pounding. You can clearly see that when he's out there playing right now. I don't know the full extent of how banged up he is, and I know that he's going to put the tough guy persona on and say that everybody's banged up, but clearly his game is being impacted. But when you have fresh bodies out there that are getting this opportunity, one of the most telling things will be how they respond, how they react, and what they're able able to do for their own game, which in turn will tell you what they're able to do for the Sharks. Leonard has lightning speed. He needs to be able to finish. Balsers has fresh and energetic legs out there. He needs to be able to put pucks in the back of the net. Dylan Gambrell, as of late, has been taking great strides forward with his game. Much stronger on the puck than he was a year ago. He's able to find the back of the net. He's scoring more goals. These are the times of things that we need to see. You go beyond that. You look at a guy like a Timo Meier. Timo Meier has had a very disappointing season. He's been in and out in terms of the way he makes his presence felt during the games. He needs to come through with his best moments as a Shark over the remainder of the season so that they can keep themselves alive in this race and give themselves that opportunity heading into the final week of the season to where they're playing big games against Colorado and Arizona. Timo Meier has been, again, just so disappointing when you see what he's capable of. And I don't know why that is. And maybe this will be his moment to shine and rise to the occasion. But you need these younger guys to do what it takes for the team to keep themselves alive in this race. We've seen Hurdle come through. We've seen Kane put the team on his back. We have watched the known established players do their job. Timo Meier, I previously qualified as a known and established player, but he had a rough start to last year before he started to come on as we got deeper into the year. And of course, that got shut down by a pandemic, but he had a slow start again this year. And the consistency in which he's had during the games, it's been up and down. Sometimes he's there, he shows up, has a big impact. Sometimes he doesn't. I think you can also take that with Erik Karlsson. Erik Karlsson had some big games for the Sharks earlier when they were playing better hockey, but lately he's been a little bit more quiet, even if he had, you know, that great pass a couple nights ago that set up the attempt from Meier, which led to a block and a save rebound score from Balsers. I love what Erik Karlsson is capable of, but I also feel that too often he has made some bad passes. He's tried to go for the home run pass. He has not simplified when he's needed to simplify, and I'm going to need more out of him knowing what he is capable of. And that's the greater tale of the Sharks right now. I mean, when Erik Karlsson plays to his level, the Sharks are a much better team. When Timo Meier plays to his level, the Sharks are a much better team. If the established players play to their level, combined with younger players using their fresh legs and using whatever youthful vigor they have left, is going to go a long way in the Sharks having success down the stretch. And if you think any of the big names are trying to alleviate pressure from themselves, it seems that that could not be further from the truth. Here's Logan Couture when he was asked about what he can do psychologically for the team.
I think I can play better hockey. I think it's no secret for the last little while I've had a bad stretch offensively, and you know, I'm a leader on this team and I expect more to create more in the offensive zone, and it hasn't happened. I mean, I scored one goal and I don't know how many games, feels like 50. So got to look in the mirror first before I start critiquing other guys, and my game needs to get to another level.
And so he's putting that onus on himself, even though we can all tell watching him that he is banged up. But the viewpoint of the question he was being asked was what he can do psychologically as the captain to reinvigorate his team. His viewpoint was that he can play better. His viewpoint is the way to motivate his team is to lead by example, and that hopefully if he is able to find the back of the net, then other guys will be able to find the back of the net. And I don't disagree with that. Having a guy like Logan Couture in that position of leadership and knowing what he's been able to do over the course of his career, step up, play his biggest moments in the biggest games, that's a big part of the reason of why the C is on his sweater. And that needs to be the way it goes for everybody else. Let one hand feed the other, and let any positivity you see from certain players, whether it is a Logan Couture or whether it is a Dylan Gambrell, hope that other guys recognize that they too can figure out how to break through and come forward with big performances, because that's what you need right now. You need big performances from the team to help you with this push down the stretch. And if it's there, great. If it's not, I mean, they do have a million excuses of why it's not there, but I don't think any of them want to rely on excuses. The reality is that it has been a lot of hockey in a very short amount of time. The guys are banged up, they're beat up, they're dealing with a lot. I don't argue that for a second. But I also know that certain guys are aware of the fact that they're not playing up to the level that they are capable of. And I'm not singling out Logan Couture in that sense. He singled himself out. But like I said, he is dealing with injuries. I'm looking more at a guy like Timo Meier. We all expect more from him, and I am sure that he expects more from himself. I think the same can be said from Erik Karlsson. Erik Karlsson has shown moments of brilliance, but the consistency is not there right now, and it needs to be consistent down the stretch. And it starts on Wednesday night when you have a winnable game against Anaheim, a team that the Sharks are better than. After that, you go on the road to Minnesota for two hard games. Then you're back out on the road for two in Las Vegas. That's not going to help your cause. You need to pick up one win before you go into four very difficult games in which you'll be happy if you walk away with two wins. And then you come home for two more difficult games against Vegas and Minnesota, and then a Monday and a Wednesday nighter against Arizona. And being realistic, in six consecutive games against Minnesota and Las Vegas, two of them out of the six are at home. The other four, that means you're out on the road. If you walk away with three wins out of that six-game stretch, I think you're going to be feeling decent about yourself, but that sets you up for a final eight games of the year, four against Arizona, four against Colorado, and four of those games against Colorado are consecutive, bookended on each side by two home sets against Arizona. I mean, this is it, folks. This is where the season is going to be decided. All right, that wraps it up for this edition of Morning Tide. I will be back with you on Thursday morning after game two of this series against the Ducks. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.
The rebound is gobbled up by Anaheim, and Agostino will skate out. Made the move on Raquel. He gets by Erik Karlsson. Moves in. Gets the shot on net. Oh, what a save by Martin Jones with 6:11 gone by in the first.